Today's edition of the Derek Hunter Podcast is brought to you by Ancient Life Oil.
What is Full Spectrum CBD? Full Spectrum CBD is all the cannabinoids, which in turn gives you major effectiveness. CBD isolate is much less effective than Full Spectrum CBD. No herbicides, no pesticides, pure organic, non-GMO, Full Spectrum CBD. Where do you get the good stuff? At AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Buy CBD tinctures that work. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Alrighty, hello again everyone and welcome to it. It is the Derek Hunter Podcast for the 22nd of September, 2021. Happy hump day to you. Hope you're getting humped. It's Wednesday. That's right, Wednesday. Halfway to the weekend. I'm Derek Hunter. I am your host. Quick reminder about the Week in Evan review at patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast. The news talked about, commented on the way it deserves it, to be perfectly honest with you. All like a bunch of drunken sailors, but all in me. Every single one of them. patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast. Also, don't forget AncientLifeOil.com. Yes, your home for 100% pure organic CBD oil. You can't beat it. It's non-GMO, all certified. There's all these other things. You don't know what you're getting. Oh, the grocery store CBD. What is it? It could be extra virgin olive oil. Probably be trampy olive oil, to be honest with you. They're going to go the cheap stuff. But AncientLifeOil.com gives you the good stuff. 100% pure organic, and again, non-genetically modified. And at checkout, you enter promo code Derek, D-E-R-E-K, and click apply. You get free fast shipping on top of everything else. You really can't lose. Go to AncientLifeOil.com, enter promo code Derek at checkout, click apply. Great prices, great products, great savings. AncientLifeOil.com. Now, on with the show. It's another one of those days where you sit there and you go, where do I start? Where do we go with this stuff? Where do we begin? Because there's a lot of insanity, a lot of stupidity, and a lot of, I mean, the president addressed the United Nations. And I watched most of his speech. I didn't know what, like, when I started looking, what time is Joe Biden going to speak? I then discovered that he was speaking. So I missed the first little bit. And I wish I'd missed the whole thing, to be honest with you. I'm sitting there and I'm watching this and I'm going, okay, well, is there anything worth clipping? And I'm like, no, maybe somebody else noticed something. And so I went to my trusted sources of clipping and all this stuff online, and they had clipped some things. And I watched the clips and they're like, no, when I heard it the first time, it's just vapid nothingness. It's like an air sandwich. It was all a bunch of buzzwords. It was like the people sat around who wrote Joe Biden's speech and just thought of what are the buzzwords that we got to hit on? Okay, terrorism bad. We got to throw in a domestic terrorism thing there because we want to keep demonizing half the country, falsely accusing them of everything. We got to do this, that. And it's like, wow. He denounced terrorism. He said, quote, bombs and bullets cannot defend against COVID-19 or its future variants. It can defend against reporters talking about your failures in Afghanistan, Joe, because, you know, the big attack, the big revenge. Remember after the Americans, 13 Americans were killed, 200 Afghans were murdered by a terrorist bomber during Joe Biden's retreat. It was not a withdrawal. It was a retreat. Keep that in mind. During Joe Biden's retreat, they had an attack. They bombed a car, saying this was going to be another suicide bomber. And we headed it off at the pass. Oh, my goodness, look at us. We're so wonderful. Because Joe Biden was under heavy criticism. And it's amazing. I've never seen anybody. Usually old people don't care what other people think about them. And it's good. And I think the sooner you can get to that point in your life, the better off you are. Where you just, I don't care. I don't care what you think. I don't care what somebody else says or whatever, what the gossip is, what the word on the street is. I couldn't care less. I don't care. The sooner you get to that point in your life, the better off you are. But it tends to be, you know, the longer, the more circles around the sun you have, the better, the easier it is for you to get to that point. Joe Biden's been around the sun an awful lot, almost since the planet started cooling. And he seems hypersensitive to criticism and preemptively sometimes acting on criticism, certainly acting because of criticism, speaking because of criticism. He is very, very concerned about his public image, or his handlers are very concerned about his public image and the perception of Joe Biden as a president. And so when he was under attack for his retreat in Afghanistan and facing all sorts of pressure to, you know, do it in a rational way and not use the timeline that was artificial, made up, he tried to portray himself as being, well, we're tough and we're doing this because this is the right thing to do. And it's enough is enough, I say. Enough is enough. And then there was a terrorist attack that killed 13 Americans. And Joe needed a distraction. Joe needed some kind of response to that. He couldn't just go on about his business because that would be, and that's his instinct, but that would be viewed by the American public, and rightly so, as being wildly weak. So they found something. Joe Biden or his handlers, probably more so his handlers, decided they needed a response, and it had to be quick, had to be decisive, had to be spectacular. And so what did they do? They blew up a car. It's some sort of Toyota, something or other. They just blew it up. And he said, well, look at what we did. Now, there were reports of the explosion. Obviously, there were reporters on the scene in Kabul, particularly in the airport. You can hear the explosions. It wasn't that far from the airport. And so they said, what was that noise? And they said, that was us getting revenge for the attack on us. That was us actually heading off at the pass a future attack. There was a car bomb coming this way, and we blew it up ahead of time. And, you know, how we know that it was a car bomb is because when we hit it with a rocket, the rocket exploded, and then there was another explosion, a secondary explosion. That was clearly the explosives blowing up. We're heroes. You can go ahead and print that. It's H-E-R-O, exclamation point, or you can pluralize it, however you like it to be. Just make sure that Joe Biden's name is in there. The whole world knows that he is acting proactively to protect American servicemen and women from what happened already. You mean from what he allowed to happen? Shut up. Don't talk like that. That was the mentality. That was the story. We did it again. We saved lives. Then a funny thing happened on the way to engraving Sniffy Uncle Gropey Joe into Mount Rushmore. The New York Times, of all places, did some journalism. They actually did some journalism. Now, the original explosion was in a residential area. That was a sign of Joe Biden's toughness. Doesn't matter where the terrorists hide. Keep in mind, doesn't matter where the terrorists hide, Joe Biden's going to come and get you. You're not safe anywhere. Yes, a couple of kids might have been killed in the process of getting that terrorist, but think of all the lives, particularly American lives, saved by Joe Biden's decisive action. That's the story that we were told. I'm adding tone to illustrate the absurdity of it, but this was the spin that we were given. And so what did we find out when the New York Times did some journalism? That the person who was vaporized in their little Toyota going about their business was only suspected of being a terrorist at first. That was like, oh, okay, that's weird. But okay, you know, suspected of being a terrorist. You know, probably, could be, will be, maybe. Then we find out, oh, wait, they observed him putting something in his car. That's why I thought it was explosives. Oh, okay, they're putting explosives in the car. And then we find out that what he was putting in his car was water. Bottles of water. Bottles of water, ladies and gentlemen, that the person who was vaporized, the New York Times discovered, was an aid worker. Not a terrorist mastermind, not even a terrorist tool, not even terrorist adjacent. An aid worker employed with an American aid agency who was delivering water to his fellow aid workers. Or is getting ready to, going to, is in his car, but he decided to go home. first. And that's where Joe Biden blew him up and his seven children, killing 10 innocent civilians in total. Of course, it was weeks later. The story lost all impact. The original story got the message done that the White House needed out there, that Joe Biden is not going to stand by and let Americans be attacked again. Now, Joe Biden committed in the name of, and by the way, Mark Milley, General Milley, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, he assured us, yes, there were some civilian deaths, but this was a righteous attack, an important one, that we had to do to protect our men and women in uniform. They were wrong. Would you be granted the courtesy of these people? If you were wrong on such a decision, do you think these people would look at you and go, well, you know, nobody's perfect. It happens. You acted with the best of intentions. You acted as best you could. No, you wouldn't get that benefit. Hell, their own people who are inconvenient to them at any given moment aren't given that same benefit of the doubt. Coming up, I've got a story about these Border Patrol agents who some idiot out there, some leftist idiot who used to work for Julian Castro, tweeted out a still picture of a guy on a horse, a Border Patrol agent on a horse, with the reins hanging down. He goes, is this a whip? They're whipping migrants at the southern border. Oh, my goodness, they're whipping migrants at the southern border. And every idiot in government, from Ginger Goebbels on down, were on television going, this is disturbing imagery. We don't like this. We don't. They're not giving them any benefit of the doubt. That wasn't a whip. The Border Patrol do not have whips. Kind of wish they did. Might stop some people from coming across the border, but no. It was, oh my goodness, the whips. Oh, they've got whips. Why are they whipping? They're whipping people who are black. This is just terrible. Just awful. This is, of course, what the United States government did. One member of Congress said that. This is, well, of course, they're still whipping black people on the southern border. So damn stupid. No benefit of the doubt given. But when it comes to killing 10 people, 7 of whom are children, they demand all sorts of benefit of doubt. They absolutely command the benefit of the doubt. We need the benefit of the doubt. How dare you even imply that we are not worthy of the benefit of the doubt? It was an honest mistake anybody could have made. No, not anybody could have made it. Not everybody has access to the billions upon billions of dollars of resources the United States government spends on intelligence and military. Not everybody has an idiot president running around talking about how we've got over-the-horizon capabilities. Over-the-horizon, hear Joe Biden say that all the time. What that means is you don't have to have sources and eyes and information directly from the scene of whatever. You can see over the horizon. You can see off in the distance, you know, through drones and spy satellites and things. You don't actually need human intelligence. You can tell from 5 miles high that somebody is loading explosives into the trunk of their Toyota. And so you blow them up. That's what they say. That's their spin. That's their story. And that they killed 10 innocent people? Look, I'm the first to say in war, this happens. I'm not going to sit there and condemn people for this happening. I am going to condemn them for the hypocrisy. The hypocrisy. The people who wrote rules of engagement for our troops, whose lives were actually in danger, whose lives were being lost. That you could not shoot unless you were shooting back. You could not shoot if there were civilians present. You couldn't shoot back if there were civilians present. The rules of engagement were so damn stupid and oppressive that we ended up getting a lot of people killed by our own stupid rules of engagement. Our own military betrayed our military by making it nearly impossible for them to defend themselves. Kind of problematic. That I have a problem with. That these people then go ahead and blow up 10 civilians, and they all go, you know what? That's a shame. That's a real shame. Sorry about that. And there are no consequences whatsoever. Not even an investigation. The Pentagon, the commander of CENTCOM, The general in charge of CENTCOM announced the apologized on Friday, going, "Oh, geez, sorry about killing those seven kids." But he also announced that there would be no disciplinary actions against anybody. Now, it just kind of happened not that long ago. How thorough was the investigation? What was the failure? I don't say I want somebody's head, but I certainly want somebody's explanation as to how this happened, how a guy putting water into his car is thought, well, there's a terrorist mastermind. Let's blow the hell out of him. But let's wait until he gets, you know, right into his garage at home and his kids come out to welcome him home. Let's then blow him up. I kind of have some questions on how that is and how it is that our intelligence that we spend so much money on could get it that wrong. I get it. People are wrong all the time. But for actionable intelligence, when you are literally being fired upon as a U.S. troop by somebody who from a school, they're firing you, well, you can't shoot back. It's a school. Something horrible might happen. Yeah, something horrible might be prevented from happening, like an American being killed if you shoot back. But no, you can't do that. So yes, it's the hypocrisy. It is the disconnect. It is the benefit of the doubt that these elitists give themselves and afford nobody else that I have a problem with. That's just me. I'm old-fashioned that way. It really is the hypocrisy, the double standards that get with me. And that's what gets with me with everything, with the Emmys and the Met Gala. I don't care that a whole bunch of rich liberals got together. I care that they're walking around maskless going, "You need to wear a mask, little peon servant boy. You shut your mouth. You're a monster. You're going to give everybody COVID. You're the Typhoid Mary of COVID. But me, you know, I had a lot of work done on this face, and there's no way you're going to put a mask over it because I'm waiting for my close-up. I'm waiting for my close-up." It's the hypocrisy that bothers me. And to sit there and go, "Well, you know, we're real sorry about blowing up that family." But then the consequences for it are nothing. These are the same people when they were in the Obama administration who were what? Wanting desperately to go after the people who poured water up Khalid Sheikh Mohammed's nose. The CIA interrogators. Remember that? They wanted to get him. We need to get to the bottom of this. This is an outrage. They basically poured water up somebody's nose. Yeah, that person was responsible for killing 3,000 people. But water? No way. Not on my watch. And that the CIA interrogator guy took the videotapes of the interrogations and he destroyed them. Rightly so. So it couldn't be used as evidence. That's the only real reason that the people who poured water up Khalid Sheikh Mohammed's nose were not prosecuted. Is that somebody, thankfully, luckily, looked at what they did, their boss, and said, "They did this for the good of the United States of America." They poured water up his nose. They didn't pull out his fingernails. They didn't set him on fire. They didn't attach him to car batteries. It was water up his nose. And you want to put him away for the rest of their lives? I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to get rid of that evidence right now. Good luck making a case on this one. That's the only reason. The Obama administration was mad, if you remember. They were mad. Oh, my goodness, we were going to go get these people. Why? Because there is a contingency of the Democratic Party that desperately wants to get Americans, hates the United States of America, and wanted to go after them. And without evidence, it made it very difficult, made it nearly impossible. In fact, they weren't able to go after them. I'm sure they've gone after them in other ways. Or Wikipedia pages are likely littered with all sorts of lies designed to prevent them or make it more difficult for them to get jobs in the future or what have you. But this is who the left is. They side with our enemies. They side with our opponents. They do not take the side of the United States of America, seemingly ever. So you can get the president of the United States going to the UN and whining about, "Well, we've got our own problem with extremists here in this country." Yeah, we do. We have a big problem with violent extremists in this country. They are occupying the White House, for example. That's kind of a problem. You can whine around about how you really desperately want to get back into the JCPOA with Iran. And Iran's ambassador can sit there and just laugh at you going, "My God, you're so pathetic." Joe Biden acts like Iran just broke up with him. And he's desperate to get Iran back. He never got over Iran. Oh, yeah, he flirted with Afghanistan and Iraq and whatever other countries he might bomb. He might go to bed with Assyria every now and then and bomb them. But he loves Iran. And he desperately wants to be Iran. If Iran were an American citizen, it would take a restraining order against Joe Biden. Joe Biden is so desperately going after Iran. He wants that deal back because he seems to be more interested in reintroducing and recreating Barack Obama's legacy than he is in creating one of his own, than he is in doing anything good for the United States of America or the American people. It's really a sickness if you get down to it, but it's what the president of the United States does. Maybe he's unaware of what year it is. That wouldn't surprise me. And so maybe you can't really fully blame him, but you kind of have to, because he's the one actually doing it. He has moments of lucidity where he reads the teleprompter. You'd think if he has those moments, he could have the moments of lucidity going, I don't remember the last week. I don't remember being at the beach while all hell was breaking loose around the country. Maybe I should not be president of the United States. But he won't, because that's what he's always wanted. This is part of the problem with the arrogance of the left, is it's not just blowing people up as a distraction or straight up lying to you, looking at you in the face. It's trying to ram through a $3.5 trillion spending bill on a party line vote and insisting that two senators who go, you know, I'm not too comfortable about this. I think maybe spending $3.5 trillion and fundamentally transforming the United States of America, not really what I was elected for. And instead of going, all right, well, how can we work with you? What can we do to make you feel comfortable with this? It is, we're going to destroy you. That's how the left negotiates. We'll destroy you. It's their own, so I don't care. Go ahead and destroy them. But it gives you a peek into the mindset of the left. Meanwhile, you know, childcare is infrastructure. Bridges are infrastructure. Roads are infrastructure. Internet is infrastructure. Not really. Broadband. Everybody needs broadband. Everybody can get enough internet to do whatever you want, pretty much anywhere you are in the world. My dad lives in the woods in the middle of nowhere in northern Michigan. And if I really needed to, I have uploaded things. I've written columns and sent them out. I use my phone as a Wi-Fi hotspot. Is it a way that I'd want to watch a movie streamed through Netflix? No, but I could get it. I could if I wanted to watch a movie. But my dad chooses to live in the middle of the woods in Michigan. It's where he's always loved being, and so be it. He makes that choice. If you choose to live up there, then why do we have to cater to any... My dad doesn't want internet, but why do we... He could get it, by the way. It's available, not broadband, but like satellite radio. He's got satellite TV. You could get internet. You get fast enough internet to do anything you need to do. But part of the so-called infrastructure bill is we need to spend billions of dollars making sure that broadband is everywhere. We've got to pay the cable companies and the internet companies billions of dollars to lay down the fiber optics to run them into the middle of the woods to find my dad so he can say, no, thanks, I don't want the internet. But it's there because internet access is a right, or so they say. So stupid. It really is just so unbelievably stupid. If you choose to live in the middle of nowhere, there are trade-offs. You get a much more relaxed life. Property values are much cheaper. You don't get the newest movies right away in your local movie theater. And maybe some groceries will cost more because they've got to be shipped all the way out to wherever the hell you are. But then some of the produce will be cheaper because it's grown right there. Or you can grow your own pretty easily. It is a trade-off. You consciously make that decision. There are many differences between... You know, it's not just you either live in downtown Manhattan in Midtown or you live in the middle of drop a nuclear bomb on me and nobody would notice Montana. There's a whole lot of room in between those two, and there are places for all of it. And the business model of cable companies is to say, well, fiber optics pretty expensive. That's why it's stolen a lot, because it's pretty expensive. So we're going to concentrate on laying fiber optics where the people are, where we can get a return on that investment. And that's not drop a nuclear bomb and nobody notices in the middle of Montana city. It's just not. makes sense. So why should we as taxpayers pay for people in the middle of drop a bomb in Montana to get fiber optics? They've chosen to live there, understanding full well that they're not going to be able to stream 15 different HD movies simultaneously. They'll be able to watch one or two. The internet they get is more than fast enough for that. But they're not going to be able to do it because, and what do we hear from the left? We have to do this because of the children. The children need internet access to learn. First of all, that means that you're basically telling everybody this distance learning and schools are going to be shut down forever. Secondly, we've had internet. We've had an entire generation raised with internet. And every single year, the unit of measure that we have to test whether or not our children are learning gets worse and worse. The more internet, the more ease with which you have access to all the information in the world, the less likely you are to retain any of it and be able to recall any of it. And just think of it this way. I've used this example before, but it's a good one. How many phone numbers do you remember? I bet you the vast majority of phone numbers that you can remember are phone numbers from when you were a kid, back when you had to remember phone numbers. I can still remember my friends' phone numbers, certainly the phone number that in the house I grew up with, all that. All those phone numbers, I could dial them right now. No problem whatsoever. I remember my siblings' home phone numbers, their landlines. I got all that stuff in my head. My wife's cell phone number, I think with 90% confidence I could dial it once. It's one of two different numbers in my head. I could dial that. Anybody else's cell phone number? Good friends? I have no idea what their number is. I've never had to memorize it. Why? Because if I've ever wanted to call them, I just take out my phone and I find their name and I touch their name and boom, they're called. I didn't even have to enter it to get it in the first place. When you're getting somebody's phone number, now probably not with COVID. Some people are paranoid and covered in hand sanitizer or something. But hey, let me see your phone. You grab their phone. You call your number because that number you have down pat. And then you say, all right, well, now you have my number in your recent numbers. And I have your number in my recent numbers. And I'll just create a contact for you. And you never once even had to enter that person's number. You probably never looked at it after you hit save on their name. Access to the internet doesn't make people smarter. It makes people lazier, I think. Children have learned throughout all of human history before the internet existed. I swear to God, it's true. So why do we have to spend hundreds of billions of dollars making sure that they'll be able to compete in the next Fortnite competition? That they'll be able to, I don't even know what games are hot right now. But whatever it is, you're going to play the new Halo tournament this afternoon. Why do we have to make sure you can do that? We shouldn't. We should make sure that you can read and do math and write. Write. Imagine that, writing. They're not even going to be teaching that anymore. I had to take a typing class when I was a kid. It came in handy because, you know, I write all the time. But nowadays, I doubt by the time my kids get to high school, I doubt there'll be a typing class. I doubt it. There'll be a texting class. Take a look at what some of these kids, these young kids are typing and how they type. I remember I was horrified. One of my nieces, I was looking at her MySpace account. And I just saw, it was random capitalization. Like in the middle of words and things. And it made no sense. And it was just complete and total illiterate. And I thought, and I called another sister of mine. I said, my God, have you seen this? What the hell is going on? And that's just how the kids type these days. I'm like, good Lord, help us all. If you had an effective education system, you wouldn't have that problem. So spare me all of this stuff about equity and disbursement and, oh, we've got to do this, that, and the other thing and help. Government does nothing but screw things up. And sadly, too many parents allow things to get screwed up. They just go, all right, well, the government's going to do it. Let's let them go. Let's let them do that. will follow the government's lead. Never. Never, ever. Never. After the deviations and tangents I went off on, I want to get back to what I was alluding to going to talk about. This I love this. There's a story up there. There's this investigation now. Politico has the headline, "Extremely troubling," in quotes, colon, "Investigation launched into border agents on horseback seen chasing migrants." Now, this is outraged, the cause outraged amongst the liberal intelligentsia and the liberal media, because they're not used to seeing anybody doing their jobs, particularly down on the southern border, in trying to round up or even discourage illegal aliens from marching into the United States of America. That is, of course, U.S. law, but it is currently verboten under U.S. policy under this president of the United States. He's not at all interested in people enforcing the law. What are you, a Nazi? What's wrong with you? Monster, perhaps history's greatest. Now, have you seen this footage or seen the still images of it? This non-traversy, that's what it is. That's what it should be. Is people should just be looked at and going, "You're stupid." All right. We're not doing this. It all stems from one idiot named Sawyer Hackett, who is a Democrat activist, big Dem activist, who is executive director of Julian Castro's People First Future, whatever the hell that is. You think you can come up with a name that's semi-coherent if you're starting a new group. It's not just thrust upon you. Unless you're doing like, draw three words from the hat, and whatever they are is the name of your group. It's probably disappointed Justice didn't come out. Well, anyway, Sawyer Hackett, who's apparently blocked me on Twitter a long time ago. I never heard of the guy until yesterday, but somehow my existence offended him. Good. Doing it right. He tweeted out, "Border Patrol is mounted on horseback, rounding up Haitian refugees with whips. With whips. This is unfathomable cruelty towards people fleeing disaster and political ruin. This administration must stop this." And there are pictures there of horseback Border Patrol agents. No whips. No whips. They're actually, what they're carrying is the reins. You know, there are different sorts of reins. I'm sure with a name like Sawyer Hackett, I somehow doubt that, I don't know Sawyer Hackett's parentage, but if you're in a big muckety muck in Democratic Party politics and your name is Sawyer Hackett, you probably grew up around polo or dressage, right? And so you likely are only familiar with the very tight reins that are loopy, and, you know, and Sawyer probably used them while riding side saddle to, you know, to his great comfort and joy. These small little reins that are just a little hoop. You see him, you get him with toy horses all the time. But there are many, many different styles of reins, and most of them do not particularly work well in dressage and polo. Like this one that the Customs and Border Patrol officials out west use is called, wait for it, Western reins. They are longer. You need more maneuverability. You need different options. They're very long. Sometimes there are two of them because you need that kind of flexibility and mobility in controlling your horse. So what Sawyer Hackett did was take two pictures, which are just an instant in time, showing the reins flipping around. They're just dangling off because they're exceedingly long. And a Haitian guy being grabbed, coming across the southern border. And that's a whip. They're whipping this man. They're whipping this man. Now, I look at this and I say, I know they're not whipping this man, but I don't really care. Quite frankly, is somebody breaking into your house, are you going to go, well, make sure you you give them nice tea and crumpets. Don't do anything mean to them. No, no. I'm going to let the autopsy figure out what their malfunction was. It's the way you should handle that situation. But this is the world that we live in, where the left looks at this and goes, oh my goodness, they're whipping. They're whipping black men. Instead of looking at a situation where they're going, why in the hell are Haitians crossing the southern border 2,000 miles away from Haiti? to that. If you're in Haiti and you're desperately trying to get out of Haiti, and I wouldn't blame you for desperately trying to get out of Haiti. Haiti sucks. Haiti's a hole. It shares an island with the Dominican Republic. And every time you hear there's an earthquake in Haiti, every time you hear there's an devastating earthquake in Haiti, note that's what's not said. That there's also that same devastating earthquake in the Dominican Republic. Because they're on the same island, right? It's not like your neighbor's house has an earthquake and you're sitting there going, I don't know, I didn't feel anything. What are you talking about? No, no. An island feels an earthquake. The whole island. The reason it's so devastating in Haiti is because Haiti is a corrupt hellhole, ruled for years by the Duvaliers, Papa Doc and Baby Doc. And then from there on, it's just been a succession of corrupt, incompetent governments. You get what you get. The Dominican Republic, earthquake, they go, oh, hey, there was an earthquake. Anyway, back to whatever the hell it was we were doing, because they are not ruled by the same level of corrupt, inept government. Maybe Haiti should look to its right, to see, maybe or left, depending on which way you're looking, to find a way to construct buildings that don't collapse every time the earth shimmies. Then they wouldn't have these devastating earthquakes. But they don't. They don't. And we are supposed to care. We're not responsible for it. We didn't do it. We didn't have anything to do with it. We didn't see, look, Haiti's instituting really serious building codes. The Johnson administration came in and lobbied against them and said, no, no, you must build your houses out of adobe with no rebar, not even bamboo as rebar. Just go ahead and just pile up mud. And when it dries, make that your house. Or use concrete, but the lowest grade of concrete as possible and very thin levels of it. We didn't do that. They did that all on their own. So the buildings that collapse constantly in Haiti, tragic as they are the responsibility and the fault of the Haitians and the Haitian government. Well, why do we have to be their lifeboat? Why do we have to take them in? Quite frankly, I don't care what goes on in Haiti. I don't care. Fix Haiti. You want some advice on how to fix Haiti? You want some help maybe even fixing Haiti? I could be down with that, but you want me to just say, well, we'll just create a new Haiti here. Not interested. Not interested. So that there are 10 to 12,000 Haitians living under a bridge in Texas. My problem with that isn't that people are using horses to round them up and prevent them from running off into the United States of America. My problem is, why the hell are they coming here? It's an island in the Caribbean. There are plenty of, if you really are hellbent on coming to the United States, there are plenty of places closer to Haiti in the United States to come to. And then you get to what we had, we learned yesterday, that these Haitians are coming up from other countries, third countries. They just recognized that as Haitians, they have the special protected status because our government is so stupid under the name of compassion, that we allow people from places where there are natural disasters to come here on a temporary basis until their countries get their act together. You know, places like El Salvador. There are people from El Salvador, 1/3 of El Salvadorians on the face of the earth live in the United States of America. 1/3. Because back in the 80s or 90s, they had some natural disaster. And the United States leapt into action. I think it was hit by a hurricane. I don't know. I don't honestly care. Hey, come on. Oh, we'll take in some Haitian, some El Salvadorian refugees in the name of compassion. We're compassionate, caring people. We love people. We'll take them in while you guys unbury yourself from this volcano exploding or whatever the hell it was. It's been over 20, 30 years. That what was supposed to be temporary is permanent. They've had children. Those children are American citizens. Those El Salvadorans here on a temporary, compassionate basis are never going anywhere. It's a backdoor way to amnesty to citizenship. Now, they don't get citizenship, at least not yet. because they're still here allegedly temporarily. It's the biggest joke in foreign policy. They pretend like, oh, yeah, no, we're going to totally deport you at some point. Don't worry about it. Or we're going to totally send you back to your home once things get in order. Like, if you ain't been back to your home in 30 years, you ain't never going home. Never going home. Well, the Haitians have that same benefit because their little pit of an island, and you'd think, how do you make a pit of an island in the Caribbean? Well, corrupt government. Their little pit of an island is always a disaster area. Always a disaster. So they're not going to face any consequences. Nobody's going to be deported to Haiti, really. They deported 300 and some people yesterday. They allowed into the United States more than 3,000. So they're doing it for show. They're saying, no, we're sending people back. But very few people are actually being sent back. The rest are being released. It's the left hand not paying attention to what the right hand is doing. It's sleight of hand. It's a scam. So the pictures, this whole scandal started with Sawyer Hackett. Still photos, a lie, a lie. Now, the White House knows this. Ginger Goebbels was on television. She was asked about this. She at first said it's outrageous, and we're going to get to the bottom of it, and then acknowledge that they're not carrying whips or anything, but they don't care. The whip story has stuck with stupid people. That original tweet has over 35,000 retweets at this point. Seriously, 35,000. It's not labeled as misinformation by Twitter at all or any way, shape, or form. It's just been retweeted and retweeted and retweeted by Sawyer Hackett. So Ginger Goebbels is talking about this. And she's talking about Customs and Border Patrol and Department of Homeland Security as though it's not part of the executive branch. And she uses a phrase, she's outraged over the horses, but then she uses this phrase that Joe Biden uses all the time. This is not who we are as a country. Yes, it is. It's who we should be as a country. Defending our own borders, defending our own sovereignty. This is exactly who we should be as a country. But they love, these leftists love declaring what we are and are not as a country. And the country they declare us to be is one I don't recognize and sure as hell wouldn't want to live in if it existed anywhere. Listen to Ginger Goebbels talking to, I believe, CBS.
He also felt they were horrific and horrible. I don't know anyone who could watch that video and not have that emotion. Last night, our Secretary of Homeland Security put out a statement conveying there'd be an investigation, that he's going to send additional personnel. And I think it's important for people to know this is not who we are. That's not who the Biden-Harris administration is. And we're going to absolutely pursue that investigation and get to the bottom of what happened here.
We are going to throw the book at the people who are trying to enforce our border laws. How dare they? That is not our policy. The lawbreakers shall be, we'll identify them, we'll probably give them a cash settlement and reward them with not only citizenship, but a daytime speaking slot at the Democratic Convention in 2024. It's the least we could do. I love it. I don't know anybody who could watch that video and not be horrified. Me, I watched the video. I'm not horrified at all. It's not like people are plowing over people in horses. They're not, you know, whipping people. They weren't doing anything. They're going up to them. They're trying to corral people who are trying to escape into the United States of America illegally. That used to matter. In the midst of a pandemic, we're told you can't move about freely. If you don't get at least 17 shots, you cannot even go to the grocery store. Don't even think about it. But Haitians coming from South America, flying, where are they getting this money from? That's a hell of a journey. And they're coming across the southern border. And you, no, you can't question that. You can't stop that. You can't impede that in any way, shape, or form. You're a monster, damn it. You're a monster. No, I look at that and I go, hey, you know what? The best way to avoid being wrangled up by Customs and Border Patrol agents on horseback is, if you're so offended by that, don't come to the country illegally. Problem solved. You don't want to get hit by a train, don't play on the train tracks, right? There you go, problem solved. But Ginger Goebbels, nope. Can't do it, won't do it. They're going to launch a full-scale investigation and make sure that they go after the jobs and the heads. They're probably Republicans, let's be honest. Who else would work for ICE? For Border Patrol. They're monsters and they must be destroyed. They're Americans who think wrong, just like the one-third of Navy SEALs who are going to be run out of the military because they're not going to get the jab. Who cares? God help us all. If this isn't by plan, if this is all by accident, this is just lackadaisical oopsies on behalf of the Biden administration, it'd be terrifying. Almost as terrifying as if this were by plan. I think this is all by plan. So not only is Ginger Goebbels upset, clutching her pearls, going, oh my goodness, there's horses being... you got like 12 Border Patrol agents and thousands of Haitians miraculously materializing at the same spot on the southern border in Texas. And you think, nobody goes, why there? Why there? Nobody goes, that's weird that there are all these Haitians coming. Nope, it's all, how can you believe this video footage is wildly offensive? I've never been so upset in my whole life. I've never seen anything like this. And I'm a soulless ginger. And I've seen a lot of horrible... I've been active in Democratic Party politics for 30 years. And I've never seen anything so horrible. And she would have seen some really horrible things. I think she was involved with the Clintons at one point. So you know you've seen some really horrible things. Not to mention the dry cleaning bill that she had to have personally had to have experienced. Because the Clintons spill stuff, okay? Nothing dirty. They just, they're sloppy people. They spill things. But to sit there on television and go, we'll get to the bottom of this. Instead of what she should be doing, and it's going, there's no whips there. Is it the greatest visual in the world for a liberal Democrat? No, it's not the greatest visual in the world. But they're not trampling people with horses. And they're not whipping people. There are people streaming into this country in droves and by the dozens, by the minute. Yeah, we kind of got to wrangle them up. We're in the midst of a pandemic, we're told. There is a new South American version of variant called Mu or whatever the hell it is, that there's a fairly decent chance these people are dragging across the border because they're not really from the Caribbean island of Haiti. They just happen to be Haitian and living down in Brazil and wherever else they are down in South America. They've seen their opportunity. They've noticed the green light held aloft by the Biden administration. Now, the Biden administration will tell you, there's no green light. We have been telling people, we could not have been more clear. We say, don't come. They say, don't come. That's what they do. They go, all right, everybody listen. I know you're all coming here. So make sure you don't come on in. Do not come into the United States any way you can. It's the wrong time to come on in. Like, oh, well, why are people still coming? Oh, because you said it like once or twice. And they notice that people are still getting in. You know, if you live in a village somewhere, anywhere, and your neighbor goes, that's it, I'm going to the United States of America. I'm going right up Mexico, and I'm going to march right across that border. And you say, but dude, they're not letting people in. And that person says, well, I'm going to give it a shot. I think they are letting people in. And your neighbor's back in 3 weeks going, yeah, there goes $5,000 I'll never get back. You're not going to go. But if you wait 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, and your neighbor's not back, and then you get a postcard from, hey, here I am in the red state of Florida, living life, living large. Democrats are trying to register me to vote. It's great. They're giving me jobs. They're giving me welfare. And you send that postcard back to your village, not you physically. Then maybe there's a different message that's actually literally being spent rather than rolling out Skeletor old bones President Biden every once in a while going, don't come. Don't come. Now I'm going to bed. There's a Matlock marathon on. That's just me, of course. I could be wrong, although I never am. I'm just looking at my iPhone. I just upgraded to iOS 15. I checked the weather while I was talking, and I'm like, hey, the weather app, which used to be kind of worthless, and just tell you the temperature was all it's good for, now is much more involved. I don't know what else they've upgraded in that, but at least they've got a decent weather app now. Okay, so let's get to the Secretary of Homeland Security. You've already heard Ginger Goebbels condemning employees of the executive branch. She's the mouthpiece of the executive branch. Condemning employees of the executive branch. Now you've got the Secretary of Homeland Security, Alex Mayorkas. He is going to condemn these people too, and the actions and the horror. He's going to, it's bizarre to me. These people work for him. maybe you should reserve judgment. He'd already admitted, by the way, in a written statement that these men on horseback were not whipping these sweet, sweet, nourishing Haitian illegal immigrants running across the southern border. They were not whipping them. It was not happening. That should be enough for him to maybe have a little bit of a pause and go, if they're saying they're whipping people when it's really just the horse's bridle dangling off the side of the horse and it's, you know, an instant caught in a still photograph, what else? Maybe I should not leap to conclusions. But no, he was on CNN this morning, and he is not, you'd think a guy charged with securing the homeland wouldn't be as upset by people securing the homeland as Alex Mayorkas is. But believe me, he is upset that people are securing the homeland. I'm not kidding. This is him doing it.
One cannot weaponize a horse to aggressively attack a child. That is unacceptable. That is not what our policies and our training require. Please understand, let me be quite clear. That is not acceptable. We will not tolerate mistreatment. And we will address it with full force based on the facts that we learn.
We will throw the book at the people enforcing the laws of the United States because they did so on horseback. Now, note that no children whatsoever were trampled, were threatened with a horse like, hey, you get out of here or I'm going to have my horse kick you. Nothing like that. There were literally hundreds of illegal aliens streaming. It was the conga line from hell marching across the Rio Grande because the water's only knee deep. And they're trying to run past the Border Patrol. And for their own safety, since they're wildly outnumbered, they were on horseback. Just the way police officers use horses for crowd control here in the United States of America. See, but you could do that, especially if it's a Democrat event. And by the way, for the 12 people they had show up on Saturday for their rally down on the mall, the right-wing Justice for Justice 6 rally that, oh my God, they basically put a snow globe over the top of the U.S. Capitol going, we shall protect this. It was like Hogwarts wasn't as protected as the U.S. Capitol was on Saturday when Voldemort was bringing in the army. And like 12 guys showed up going, yeah, you know, people shouldn't be held in solitary confinement for 9 months when they're charged with misdemeanor trespass. And I go, this is the biggest threat to the democracy ever. And half the people in the crowd were undercover police officers. They even arrested, or they didn't arrest him. Once they found out he was an undercover police officer, they pretended to arrest him and took him out because his cover was blown. He was there with his gun in case somebody decided to really, I don't know, ball up their fist and shake it toward the sky. They had to be ready to be armed and take on those people. But, you know, the horses there were there for crowd control. There was no crowd. They would have had no problem whatsoever if people there had been trampled. But the sweet, sweet, nourishing Haitian illegal immigrant coming across the southern border, only seeking a better life for them and their families. Those people are not at all allowed to have horses anywhere near them. That would just be wrong and hurtful and hate-filled, quite frankly. Hate-filled is the word I'm looking for. It's insane. This is their boss. When the hell would anybody work for a guy like this? Now, thank God they do. Thank God there are people down there doing their jobs. Not that it's being done effectively. They're not allowed to do it effectively. But somebody might see the footage and go, you know what? It's not an open border, even though it is. They don't show that, okay, they're just herding you over to the tents and then you're in. But this is the guy who's supposed to guard our country, our homeland. He's the head of Homeland Security. How dare they try and protect this country? Now, you say that these are Trump supporters coming across the border. They wouldn't have horses down there. They'd have snipers down there. They would currently be seeding the Rio Grande with piranha. Hungry piranha. Lots of hungry piranha. Yeah, the water's only knee-deep, but it'll be neck-deep by the time the piranha are done. A couple of illegal aliens getting eaten as they're marching across. That'd send a pretty good message not to maybe cross into the United States of America. Secretary Mayorkas was not done. He's wildly unhappy. And this is, Brianna Keeler. He was on CNN this morning. Brianna Keeler is just, she has just, I'll just say, unfortunate resting face. She always looks like she smells a fart. She always looks like she smells a fart. I don't know what it is. And her attitude is that of someone who smells a fart inside of a small, enclosed, hermetically sealed place. She is outraged that one of the DHS, one of the Border Patrol, said something truthful but mean to one of the illegal aliens about how he was using his wife and baby as a human shield because he's a coward. She found that to be offensive too and really wanted to get Mayorkas on record going, are you okay with this? Are you okay that they say mean things to them? Yeah. How many of those dudes are involved with MS-13? How many neck tattoos they got? Are you at all bothered by that, Brianna Keeler? Oh, no, wait. Did somebody just fart, Brianna? What are you looking at? Oh, that's just you resting. Never mind.
Okay, what did you think when you saw this? When you saw this behavior on the part of the agents, when you saw them yelling at migrants, which, by the way, I would like to play part of what we saw, what we're witnessing on the border.
Hey, you use your women? This is why your country because you use your women for this. You go that way.
Secretary, what was your initial reaction when you saw these things?
I was horrified by what I saw. I am going to let the investigation run its course, but the pictures that I observed troubled me profoundly.
I was horrified by what I saw. Remember, these are the people. There are no asshole countries. None whatsoever. Every country is equal and all cultures are equal and lovely and everything. And you go, if their country is so great, why are they fleeing it like it's a burning house? Huh? If their culture's so wonderful, why does it have kids eating dirt? Huh? You ever stop to think of, they do. In Haiti, the kids eat, they make cookies out of this weird mud. They spend all day making these things, and it's literally a mud cookie. And they eat mud. Like, no, that's a beautiful culture. My goodness. Watch it. You can find documentaries on it online. I've seen many documentaries on it on the History Channel and on Smithsonian. And literally, they're eating mud cookies. And you're going, I don't know, that's a beautiful part of their culture. That's how the leftist looks at it. Not like there's kids eating cookies made of mud. We need to get these kids food. How about you, government, stop being corrupt? How about you, government, start being, free and letting people be? No, it's, well, look at a beautiful culture. Look at the they have been making mud cookies like this for a couple of hundred years in the traditional way. Like, they're eating mud, you idiots. If there's a definition of an asshole country, there it is. Kids eating mud, not because they're stupid kids the way kids eat paste here in the U.S., but it's because there's no other food. That the pain in their bellies can be satiated through the mud. And there's a minute amount of some kind of nutrition. They're all malnourished, but there's at least some nutritional value in this mud. And they literally, they take all day to make these mud cookies. The mothers do. It's the most depressing thing you'll ever see. And you go, what is wrong with it? Because it's not like the island is destitute. Half of the island is the Dominican Republic. People are not eating mud cookies in the Dominican Republic. People are eating mud cookies in Haiti. And you go, is this why your country sucks? You stand behind women and throw your women out in front? Hey, is that why your country sucks? And I'm horrified by that. All countries are equal. Don't you understand? All countries are, okay, Alex, I'll buy you a ticket to Haiti. As long as you don't ever come back, I'll happily ship your bald ass to Haiti. And you can live there and you can show me how wonderful, you can show me up, man. You can tell me how wonderful it is. And you can finally answer the question, what does a dried up mud cookie taste like? See how that, I was going to say that it might help grow back your hair, but it probably won't. But yeah, go down there. I'm horrified. I'm horrified that somebody would be mad at, the 10,000th illegal alien they saw streaming across the U.S. border in the course of 3 days, that they might say something mean to them as they shove their wife in front of them so you can't get them. Yeah, a hero. Not all heroes wear capes, but apparently they all shove their wives in front of them when confronted by an authority figure. I didn't know that. I got to get my shoving arm ready for next time me and the wife hit the town. Somebody comes up and starts something. I go, there, well, there's my wife. There you go. That's what heroes do, according to our Secretary of Homeland Security. It's pathetic and dangerous. Now we're going to move on to the nightly newscasts, okay? The nightly newscasts. You sit there and everybody goes, well, Fox News, Fox News, Fox News, Newsmax, Newsmax, Newsmax. Yeah, okay, Fox News gets their top-rated shows. We'll get some nights 3 million people. 3 million people. That's nothing to sniff at. Newsmax's top-rated shows will some nights get 500,000 people. It's the number 4 cable news network, but it's like well down in the all of cable news because Fox is the number 1 cable news cable channel. But then there's like HGTV, Cartoon Network. There's like millions and billions of channels out there, and a lot of them rank a lot higher than news because there's not a lot of appetite for news in the grand scheme of things. And then you've got the nightly newscast. So you say, well, ABC is this. We got Fox. You know, the 3 nightly newscasts will get 10 times the audience together than Fox will get. 10 times the audience. And Fox will get, if you add Newsmax and OAN in there as well. It's just a simple fact of math. You don't have to like the fact, but I ain't making it up. You got a problem with it, take it up with math. So what they cover on the nightly newscasts and how they cover it is viewed by more people and will have a bigger impact on more people than anything anybody else covers it. All the cable networks on both sides of the aisle combined are dwarfed by the number of people who watch the nightly newscasts of the big 3 networks. So this issue with the southern border and the horses, and oh my goodness, they're trying to kill people. Murder by horse. Murder by horse. Not like they got Clydesdales down there curb stomping illegals as they come across the border. Although I would think a couple of videos of that would probably discourage some illegal aliens from coming across the southern border. Just saying. Not suggesting that they do it. I'm just saying that if I were going somewhere and I saw Clydesdales curb stomping people doing that, I probably wouldn't be in a big hurry to do that. So this is how ABC News with the hair. David Muir is the anchor. I love this guy. It just seems like vanity personified. He almost makes Gavin Newsom seem like a casual kind of guy who never checks a reflective surface. David Muir seems that full of himself. But here's how ABC News covered the border situation with the horses and the alleged whipping.
There are alarming images from the Texas border tonight. The White House pressed on them today, calling the images horrific. What were some Border Patrol agents doing? And all of this comes as the Biden administration now puts migrants on flights back home to Haiti. Kenneth Moten from Texas.
Tonight, this new video of Haitian migrants at the southern border, the chaos and despair. Images showing Border Patrol agents on horseback as they try to stop them from crossing the river into the U.S. The White House seeking answers.
I've also seen the video. I can't imagine what the scenario is where that would be appropriate. It's obviously horrific, the footage.
Oh, it's just horrific and you believe it. And David Muir is like, oh, there's a horrible situation. Awful video. Try and get past David Muir's doorman. In whatever mega, gigantic, wildly expensive New York apartment building he lives in. Or for that matter, try and visit his home in the Hamptons, because you know he's got a place at both places. See how that goes. See how the doorman tries to stop you. Would David Muir, and have a friend film it, and they would show it to David Muir. Are you horrified by the way that the doorman tackled me? Are you disturbed by the way he called the police and that they cuffed me, wrestled me to the ground, and violently pulled me out? All I was trying to do was enter your building, David Muir. Why is it so terrible? Why is it so awful? He won't respond. He won't answer. But you gotta love that. It's just horrible. Horrible. The narrative taking shape. Horrible. Nobody was whipped. Nobody was run over by the horse. Nobody was harmed. Nobody was really even impeded from entering the country illegally. They were prevented from entering the country illegally and then running off. They had to go through the indignity of paperwork. Well, welcome to the party, pal. That was ABC News. That was the number one newscast, because apparently America loves the hairdo. Now we go to CBS. I believe that still stands for the Columbia Broadcasting System, but I could be wrong. It could just be CBS, and they did like a Prince thing with C rather than spelling it out, S-E-E. But the CBS Nightly News, this is their take on the same story.
Tonight, a sea of humanity and desperation along the Texas-Mexico border that has overwhelmed the U.S. Border Patrol. A number of agents on horseback can be seen trying to keep migrants from crossing into the country while threatening them with what appears to be horses' reins or ropes, including families like this one holding a baby when the agents get dangerously close. As they try to pass, the agent said this to them.
Hey, you use your whip. Because it's why your country.
A massive show of force by Texas troopers creating a barricade along the border to stop the thousands of mainly Haitian migrants from arriving in Del Rio, Texas.
You know what's missing from any of these reports? Any of them. Why the hell is it that people from a Caribbean island are coming up through Mexico in the middle of the Texas border? You know, if you think, well, they're just going to boat over to Texas. Wouldn't they go to like the lowest southernmost point on the Gulf of Mexico of Texas and try and cross there? Why would they go like 500 miles up the border of Mexico and Texas to enter where all these other illegal aliens are entering? Why would that be? Might it be that they're being shipped up there from countries that aren't Caribbean islands? Might it be that they have dual citizenship and have been waiting for their moment to make a run for the border? Yeah, that probably would be it. But no journalist has bothered to wonder why it is that these relatively well-dressed and certainly well-fed, they're not the mud cookie-eating kids, because they don't live in Haiti, why these relatively healthy-looking people are coming into the United States at about the midway point of the Texas-Mexico border, rather than where you would expect them. If they're coming from Haiti, they're fleeing from, because if they're fleeing from Haiti, it'd be really weird if they all just were off by 500 miles. And nobody said, hey, maybe, you know, Texas goes right to the water. We could probably just take the boat. We don't even have to go into Mexico. We could take the boat right to the beach there in Texas. And we're in the United States. We don't have to go through there. It would cause some people with more than one brain cell to rub together to have some thoughts and ask some questions. Like, maybe there's some organization to this. Maybe it's all a coincidence that people from a Caribbean island are showing up in a very severely by like 500 mile landlocked area to enter the southern border. That just seems weird to me. Seems weird. Doesn't seem weird to anybody at ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC. Even really Fox hasn't bothered to ask that question. But I think it'd be nice if somebody did. It'd be nice if somebody kind of not only asked that question, but then said, I have a lot of resources at my disposal being a part of News Organization X. I shall expend some of them to endeavor to find an answer to this query that just occurred to me. It would be nice, wouldn't it? Apparently, it's a bridge too far. But so far, you've heard NBC or ABC and CBS. Now comes Lester Holt and NBC News. And they actually are the ones who come the closest to doing an honest representation of what's going on at the southern border. They actually do report fairly accurately. And without the, oh my, they were threatening to run them over with Clydesdales and they were going to kill them. And they were running up to old ladies and pushing them down so that the horse might stomp on their face. Here's the NBC News fair-ish report.
Morgan, there's been a lot of attention today and some of those images of agents on horseback doing crowd control. And there's questions over what they were holding. What can you tell us?
Yeah, Lester, White House spokesperson Jen Psaki called those images horrific to watch, but said she needed more information before officially making a comment. Meanwhile, Secretary Mayorkas here in Del Rio says it appears those were the rider's reins for the horse, but did promise to investigate. We're told that agents are not equipped with whips and ride horseback for their own protection.
Yeah, we don't have a Devo brigade that are out there training constantly. And they, you know, sit in somewhere in New Mexico and are whipping cigarettes out of the mouths of models. We don't have that, and we don't have a whole bunch of whips there. So, yeah, it's horse reins. At least NBC News reported that it was horse reins. It was like, well, they were possibly threatening them with reins or with ropes. Wait, how do you threaten somebody with a rope while you're riding by on horse? Look at this rope. I'll give you a rope burn as I ride past you. Huh? That'll learn you. Idiots. One network. MSNBC, CNN, ABC, CBS didn't bother to mention they showed the video. Some of them alluded to, oh, they're whipping the sweet, sweet, nourishing migrants. One network. And of all of them, it was NBC News. You would think that if NBC News could get that right, that MSNBC would be in on the same meeting. You'd be wrong, but you'd think they'd at least be in on the same meeting. It's pathetic. These people are absolutely pathetic. Before we run out of time, I do want to play this one bit from a reporter at the Emmys. Just unbelievable. Gillian Anderson won for The Crown. And in The Crown, apparently, they're doing like various stages of the royal family. I haven't watched any of it, but I know a little bit about it. The royal family this season was like the royal family Chuck and Die sort of thing. And Margaret Thatcher was the prime minister of the UK, right? Great. Margaret Thatcher, apparently she did a good job of playing Margaret Thatcher, and she won the Emmy for it. At the press conference, she was asked the dumbest question you could ever... Now, keep in mind, Margaret Thatcher died in 2013. Keep that in mind. Gillian Anderson played Margaret Thatcher this year. That is 8 years difference. Here's the reporter's question at the Emmys.
So just to kind of continue with the whole Margaret Thatcher thing, first question, have you talked to her about this role at all? And secondly, why do you think it has taken America so long to get a female leader, you know, when all of these other countries and look at what Margaret did in the UK?
Well, I have not spoken to Margaret.
I don't know that Gillian Anderson knows that Margaret Thatcher is dead. But I know for a fact that the reporter doesn't know that Margaret Thatcher is dead. She apparently doesn't know how long ago the 1980s were and how old Margaret Thatcher was in the 1980s. But to sit there and go, oh, no, did you talk to Margaret Thatcher? Did you maybe get a psychic medium and have a conversation about how she'd want to be portrayed? Just unbelievable. There's the old saying, you know, you can tell people you're an idiot or you can keep your mouth shut and leave them guessing. So many people should learn that keep their mouth shut and keep them guessing. They don't. They just don't. They're right out there with it. I'm an idiot. Well, that's about enough for today, don't you think? I think that's about enough for today, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate the use of your ears, the patient use of your ears. I'll be back to pollute them again tomorrow with the truth, of course. The conservatives only pollute with the truth. The left just pollutes. They don't give a hoot, ladies and gentlemen. They are not woodsy. But I do like the idea of a Devo branch of Homeland Security patrolling the borders with a whip. We'll see how that works out. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Have a great one.